Walking Dead Season 6, Episode 4 is over, but we're just getting started here on The Walking Dead Live on Post Show Recaps. And now here are the two guys who just ordered up some delicious oatmeal burgers. I'm Rob Cicinino. Here's Josh Wigler. Josh, how are you?
I'm good. Rob, not to make this a Kalish Kalish thing, but you mispronounced my name. It's actually pronounced Kill Me!
Oh, sorry.
Kill
sorry
me! About that.
Josh Wigler is here, but here's not here.
Yeah, Kill Me Wigler.
That's
not
a stupid
the first
name.
Time I've said yeah. those words.
All right. Wow. I can't believe I'm so happy that Kevin from The Office was able to continue his acting career after the show. So
that's horrible. Stop. Stop. That's not nice. That's not nice. It's Twisty the Clown. Give him some respect.
Yes. Okay. Well, good. Good. All right. So, Josh, here we are. It's a Monday morning. We're doing this after I watched something far more terrifying, which was the end of the Mets season last night. So,
How did that go? That didn't go so well.
It was bad. I'm in the Morgan clear phase right now. Uh-huh. So, hopefully, I'll come out of it and have love for all baseball teams. But
okay.
No, it's fine. Josh, thank you, and thanks to everybody who was flexible with their schedule to listen to this at another time.
Now you're saying thank you. Is this the part where you blow your brains out after you say thank you?
No. I might have been in the fetal position saying kill me, kill me, kill me after the game. That is, may or may not be true. But anyway, right. Walking Dead, fun show last night. Again, I think that there's going to be, if I am reading between the lines, I think there's probably some people who were very upset to get this episode at this point, but I think that we were prepared for it.
Yeah, I think we were prepared for it. And I think that that's something we hit on last week with the whole comparison to like who's Cartman's father, who's, you know, getting the Terrence and Phillip episode after that, or comparing it to kind of Across the Sea on Lost. And yeah, maybe weird timing to get the Morgan flashback here after that big Glenn episode last week. I think a big difference between this and the Lost example of Across the Sea coming when it did was that Across the Sea wasn't any good. And this episode was actually pretty good. I thought it was very good. But I do think that the timing is obviously an issue. So I think that there will be people who are upset about that. Hopefully people can come to appreciate the episode if they don't appreciate it right now, because I thought it was a really strong episode.
Well, this is your Walking Dead recap show here on Post Show Recaps. If you want to subscribe to our Walking Dead podcast feed, we do our weekly Walking Dead recap and then also a feedback show midweek. Make sure you don't miss any of that. Go to postshowrecaps.com/TWD. iTunes, we're getting a lot of new subscribers, a lot of people coming on board. So welcome on board to all of you new subscribers. Hopefully that you guys are just like the caliber of people that are able to come and visit Eastman at his house, just like Morgan. Yeah. Welcome.
Great guests, all of you.
Yes. All right.
And if you need to leave at any time, the door is open.
The door is open. You may leave. You may step out.
Come and go as you please.
Josh, for you, let's just talk about the runtime. Did this episode need to be 90 minutes?
It was long. It was long. It was definitely long. I mean, I liked the fact that it kind of did feel, you know, it felt like a movie. It had that quality to it. It felt like a Walking Dead Morgan movie. I liked that. I didn't love staying up later than usual and having to do the note taking a little later than usual, but that's just a personal pick. But I thought it was good. I think that there was probably, you know, you could have trimmed a couple of the scenes of Morgan running around in the forest. You could probably have killed like 10 minutes of screen time there.
Yeah, I think we got who Morgan was way back when. I don't know if we forgot all about that. But overall, and I broke it up into two parts. I watched about 30 minutes of it last night and then the last hour of it this morning. I definitely enjoyed the hour that I watched this morning, the first third I didn't enjoy as much as the second two thirds.
There you go. That'll work. Yeah.
Okay, so the character of Eastman, let's talk about him, the cheesemaker.
I feel like calling him the cheesemaker doesn't feel right. You know, like he was trying to make cheese. As far as we saw, he never got it right. Did he ever make a good batch of cheese? I think he was pretty disappointed in all the cheese that came out.
I almost feel like that was like a line of dialogue that they put in and then they had to sort of like retrofit. Okay, wait, how do we make this person into a cheesemaker?
Uh-huh. You didn't think that they knew that there was going to be Tabitha the goat and that this guy was trying to make goat cheese? You don't think that they had thought that far ahead?
It's a good question for somebody. I'm not exactly sure if we have that answer or not, but it almost feels like, oh, we really painted ourselves into a box here with this cheesemaker.
There's so many better ways of describing Eastman. Like, I learned it from a forensic psychiatrist. I learned it from a guy that I was living with for a while.
Whoa,
I learned it's an accurate description.
Or I learned it from Eastman.
Yeah, I learned it from a dude named Eastman. He was dope. I loved him. He was great.
What do you think about his character and that storyline overall? Were you invested in Eastman over the course of this episode?
Yeah, I was. I thought that they did a really good job with this character. I think that one of the things that Walking Dead tends to do, I like these sort of one-off guest stars. Like Lenny James himself as Morgan was that for a while. He was somebody that every once in a while would just pop up and he would really explode on the screen. And I thought that he was really terrific in all of his limited appearances before that. And I think that John Carroll Lynch, who's the actor who played Eastman, I think that he was terrific casting. That's a really great actor that you've got there. Very versatile actor. All you got to do, and there's so many things. You could go back to Fargo. You could see him on Drew Carey's Show. You could see him being terrifying on American Horror Story. He's versatile. He can play a lot of different characters. And when I was thinking of who's going to be the guy that trains Morgan how to use a bow staff, probably didn't think of like the balding, heavy set guy who is going to give you like the tough love, like, come here, brother. Let's get the evil out of you, brother. I feel like Eastman was not the guy that I was expecting to see last night. But now that that's the character that we know, I can't think of him any other way. I really liked him. I thought that he was a very good character. And I think that the work that he and Lenny James did opposite each other last night was really terrific. So one of the great one-off characters of Walking Dead, for sure.
Yeah, really good. I did really enjoy him. I got very invested. I almost feel like I would rather see him show up at Alexandria instead of Morgan. But, that's just, revisionist history at this point.
So thumbs down on Morgan. Oh, man. Yeah.
Well, not so much thumbs down on Morgan, but I feel like, we're getting like a the poor man's version of this guy who's practicing this ideology.
Right. But isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting that Morgan, who shows up in Alexandria with this no kill policy, who shows up at the end of last season saying all life is precious and is seemingly trying to embody that here in the now in season six, maybe he's not all the way there. Maybe he's kind of fragile, and that's really interesting. That wasn't something I'd been considering before this week.
Yeah, he's sort of like the guy that he's just like, I'm not eating carbs anymore. And it's like, well, how long have you been doing this? Well, I've been on 2 weeks, no carbs right now.
Doing great. Yep.
I'm doing great so far. Probably never going to eat carbs ever again. It's like, okay, we'll see about that. Because really, I was surprised in just the passage of time. It doesn't seem like from the moment that Morgan came away from Eastman's house, he was on his way to Terminus. So just to sort of like plot it out, that's the end of season four around that time.
Yeah, and around then, I think, he's walking towards Terminus right around the time that Rick is probably rolling up to Terminus.
Yeah, and we'll see exactly how this worked out, because I'm pretty sure that Rick had a car to get most of the way to Washington, D.C., and I'm not really sure if Morgan caught a ride any point of the way. I don't really understand how Morgan was in Atlanta and then on foot and caught up to Rick, was like, 2 days behind Rick, who was in a car for part of that ride.
I think he's a little bit behind Rick. I don't think that it's just 2 days. I mean, we do see him at the end of or at the midpoint of season five, rather. We see him roll up to Father Gabriel's church, and he sees that map that says "World Needs Rick Grimes," and it's the map to Washington. So he's got his way of getting close to Washington, and I don't think that we're ever going to find out exactly how he got there.
That's next week's episode.
No, we learned that lesson. We did the two governor episodes and we said it only had to be one. So I don't think that we're going to do two.
Yeah, the real question is, how long was Rick at Alexandria before Morgan showed up? Because Rick ultimately gets to Alexandria probably towards like with like 3 or 4 episodes left in season six. So
yeah, it's like 4 or 5. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll probably never have that answer. It'll probably just be one of those things that we don't think about. So with Morgan now showing up here, I mean, how much do you think that Morgan is going to stick to this worldview? And we were talking about this so much with Glenn last week of, Glenn had sort of like the optimistic worldview And we talked about how, like, there's the Rick and Carol worldview of that we have to kill people because it's you know, survival of the fittest. And that's the way that we need to be operating. But now we get the Morgan worldview through Eastman of all life is precious. We should not be killing anybody. It's a real, like, dark and light side of the Force going on.
Yeah. And I like this idea of, you know, coming into this week's episode, you would have positioned Morgan completely oppositely from Carol and Rick, just based on the way that he's been acting recently. But we see in this episode that it wasn't an easy adjustment for him to make. It was really difficult for him to come to this light side of the Force. And even by the end of the episode, we are seeing, you know, he has the opportunity to lock the wolf up or to just close the door and keep it open. And he locks the door. So he is not full Eastman. He's not in a place where he can just, you know, keep a prisoner and not really have them be a prisoner and give them opportunities to explore and open up their lives and walk through the door. He's more skeptical than that. So I would have come into this episode thinking that Morgan was really kind of, you know, pure on the side of life is precious. Now I'm not so sure. And the fact that you do have Carol and Rick, who are so firmly on the other side of things, I don't know. I'm kind of feeling like Morgan's going to have to swing back by the end of this thing. Don't you think? Don't you feel like Morgan is not going to be able to hold on to this worldview, given what we know of the other characters he's surrounded by?
Well, especially when you combine the fact that the guy that Morgan said, okay, you got two choices. You know, you could, you know, stay here or you could leave.
Right.
And then he's, you know, told the guy to get out of here. The guy took the gun and went and attacked Rick. So really feel like that worldview, I think, works if you have a cabin in the woods and, you know, people like a couple people come by here and there. But when you're dealing with the wolves, I'm not sure necessarily if that is going to hold out.
Right. And maybe, you know, there's an argument that, you know, you do see Eastman saying to Morgan, like, you can stay or you can go. I will not allow you to kill me. I won't allow that. Like, that's not an option that's on the table. You can get out of here. You can hang out on my couch. But if you try to kill me, that's not happening. And maybe Morgan locking the wolf away is sort of his version of that. Like, yeah, I kind of have to lock you up because I really do think that you'll just go around killing people if I don't. So I guess that makes more sense. That being said, just locking that one door doesn't seem like that's going to be enough to hold the wolf down. It wasn't like he was chained to the floor. I mean, he has his hands tied, but he's just in a corner. He could get up. He could break a window. He could get out of there.
The cut that he had, was that a walker bite or that was like some other sort of laceration?
I mean, I don't think that we have a definitive answer on that. It seemed like a laceration. It didn't seem like a walker bite. And he also says, like, I came here for medicine. I came here to see if you guys had anything that could help me. Now that I'm here, now that you guys have won that battle, I feel pretty good about the fact that I'm probably going to die. But if I don't die, then I'm going to have to kill you guys because that's my code. So the fact that he's giving himself that option of, if I make it through, you know, what I'm fighting right now, then I'm totally going to kill you guys, does not come across to me as somebody who feels that they're about to turn into a walker, unless he doesn't know those rules that you just die and you come back anyway. But he's been out in the woods for a while. I feel like he would have figured that one out by now. I mean, those people in LA figured that out in the first episode. So,
Josh, is that a wolf code or is that guy's personal code?
Seems like wolf code, right? It seems like he has, you know, it seems like the wolves have their set of beliefs. But honestly, I guess we don't really know. He's been the only mouthpiece for these guys. We've seen a bunch of them now. Most of them are dead, and he's the only one that's really talked. So we can only, you know, talk about the wolves through his perspective. He's the only one who's speaking to those beliefs. But I think that it seems to me to be representative of just the way that the wolves exist.
Yeah, I did think that Morgan had killed that guy going back into the end of the last episode because of the way that he said sorry when he, you know, whacked him with the staff. But then we got to see, you know, Eastman does the same exact thing to Morgan coming into the start of this episode.
Yeah. So what do you think? Does Morgan have a shot at rehabilitating this guy, or is this dude a lost cause? This wolf is just no bueno.
No, we cannot rehabilitate more
beyond
the wolf. Yeah, we need a name for this guy. He's not Wolf Douche, is he?
He's Wolf Douche. Yeah, he is right now.
I don't know if we can rehabilitate WD because he is really adamant that he's going to. Where Morgan was like, kill me, kill me, kill me. This guy is the, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you.
Oh, is that everybody. His name, Kill You?
Yeah.
Kill you.
The stupid name also. So I think that this guy is going to be trouble. And really, that I mean, the best that Morgan can do is try to hold Rick and Carol off from even knowing that this guy's around.
Right. And obviously, you know, from Morgan's perspective, if Morgan tells anybody, hey, I've got one of the wolves locked up in my house, what do you want to do about it? The answer is going to be, well, we're going to interrogate him, torture him, and then
execute. Yeah, where's Daniel Salazar?
You know, those are going to be the rules. Yeah, where's the Saeed of The Walking Dead? Like, those are the rules. We will interrogate this man. We will get all of the necessary information out of him. We will figure out where the wolves live and how to destroy them. And then we will kill him. You know, no chances. I take no chances anymore, says Rick Grimes. So Morgan knows that. He gets that. He has seen Rick in action now that he's been in Alexandria. So if Morgan pipes up, he knows that this guy is toast. Morgan believes all life is precious, at least for now believes that. So you can understand why he's not going to Rick and Carol, but don't you think this is, you know, you're really putting yourself out on a limb for this guy.
Yeah.
It's a big risk for this guy who clearly just wants to kill everybody. There's gotta be a point in time where this risk is not worth it, Morgan.
Right. Well, life is precious. You know, it's fine to say when it's just you. I think that when you're Eastman, it's like, okay, all life is precious. And then it's like, you know, I was wrong. I got bit and now I'm dead. I think you can sort of like live with that mistake. But like, if you're wrong and, you know, this guy kills Maggie, like, it's like, you're going to feel really bad about how this all went down, right?
Yeah, especially because Glenn totally died recently. Like, very much definitely dead.
we'll talk more about Glenn before this is all said and done. Do you think it was weak that Eastman died so easily?
No, I liked it. I actually did. I think that was probably the most I don't know, that was like the most civilized death that we've gotten on The Walking Dead. And I appreciated that he got to go out sort of quietly, that we didn't have to watch him turn all the way. We didn't have to watch Morgan put him down. I liked that they just kind of breezed through that because it was a foregone conclusion. And I like that they let somebody on this show just sort of die gracefully. Mm-hmm. You know, he does get bit on the back. That was a little, you know, maybe that was a little easy.
Yeah, but we went through this whole episode talking about how he is a master of Aikido. And then just like one random walker is able to get him.
Right. He shouldn't have had to push Morgan out of the way. He should have just been able to like trip Morgan up with his Aikido stick and then just like bopped the walker on the head.
I mean,
that would have been easy.
That we're talking about, that this is like some sort of, you know, Aikido black belt. You would think that one random walker wouldn't be able to get on. Sometimes, you know, these walkers, you know, you get like, sometimes they're just like, and then sometimes you get like some really spry ones out there. I don't know what the difference
is. What do the spry ones sound like? What do they do?
they're very aggressive. They're really fast and strong also. You know, some of these walkers, it's like, you know, we've seen walkers that they just like are like, you know, going into like a chain link fence and like just like falling apart. And other, like sometimes they're like going like, you know, grappling with Morgan.
Right. Well, I think it depends on the freshness of the zombie. If you know you've got a zombie that's fairly recent, they're going to be a little more limber, like this guy, like the guy that Morgan strangled to death. He didn't seem like he was probably dead for much longer than, what, like 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think, you know, we're calling Eastman a black belt in Aikido, and I think that that's probably giving him too much credit. And I think that even he would be like, hey, slow down. I'm more like a, I don't know, like, what is it? Like a red belt, blue belt? What's a pretty good belt? I'm a pretty good belt. I'm not a great belt. And I think that, you know, you get that with the fact that he has this story about the serial killer who murdered his entire family, and he starved the dude to death. It wasn't even like he picked the guy up from the side of the road, brought him back to his cabin and shot him and buried him. He brings this guy from the side of the road back to his cabin, locks him up for 47 days and watches the guy starve to death. This is a man who had been practicing Aikido before this incident. So for him to not only crack, but to crack for at least 47 days, plus and minus, you know, the days that he was planning this thing and the days that he was living with this thing before he decides to turn himself into Atlanta. This is not an Aikido black belt. This is an Aikido, I'm pretty good belt, but I've had my slip ups.
What'd you think of the Crichton Dallas Wilton story?
I liked it. I thought it was good. I love the name.
Yeah,
great name. I think you could probably toss a couple more names on there and it'd be even better. Michael Crichton Dallas would be good. That would be fun. No, I thought
Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that would be good. It was a good story. I liked it, and I liked this reminder that, The Walking Dead takes place in this universe where there's monsters. There's actual monsters trying to eat you, but before the world turned into that, there were monsters trying to eat you in another way. And I liked this reminder of, the show is constantly telling us that the people are the danger, but it was an interesting reminder that the people were the danger before the zombies were involved as well. So I thought it was good. It was a nice reminder of what the world was like before. Pretty miserable place before and after this whole thing started. So I thought it was good.
What did you think of Eastman's graveyard? Is that something that you would like to see begun at Alexandria?
Well, they have their like little tiny crappy graveyard at Alexandria,
but not for walkers,
right? But not for walkers. You would think that Morgan could spruce that thing up. Maybe that could become his new job. Assuming that Alexandria's in good enough shape for it to sustain a graveyard, we really still don't know the full extent of the damage, and we're halfway into this, first part of the season. We don't know quite how badly Alexandria got hit yet. So let's see if there's, if there's even enough of a place to protect to install a new graveyard. I think that's probably the question we got to answer first.
So big picture, what's the story that's being told here in season 6? Is the story ultimately going to be Morgan starts to convert all of our gang that we know into people that are more like him? Or is the storyline going to be that everybody in our group is going to be working on Morgan, getting him to the worldview that they share?
Yeah, I before this episode, I would have thought that we were talking about a philosophical divide and a clash of these two ideologies from Rick's point of view of take no chances. All these dumb people are going to die anyway. Let's just facilitate that and let's protect the strong. And then there's Morgan's life is precious. And I really thought that those were going to be like the two really strong pillars that we were dealing with on the show. And I still think that there is a bit of that, but it feels like the writing is on the wall for Morgan's ideology to fail. I think that you need somebody who is going to be upholding those values, who truly, with every single fiber of their being, believes in that. The way that Rick believes that this is the way of it now, the way that Carol believes this is how the world is. Morgan, I think, believes in this very strongly and really wants to believe in it, because if he doesn't, we've seen what he looks like through the other worldview. He's a maniac. He's a lunatic. He's as insane as anyone we've ever seen on this show. He's running around stabbing people in the throats for absolutely no reason other than I got to clear him. My reason to be here is to kill people. So I don't know that you want Morgan to go full Rick. Morgan in full Rick is a scary, scary guy. But I feel like Morgan full Eastman is not something that he's achieved yet. He doesn't seem to have the backup for fully embracing that worldview. There's more people in Alexandria who are inclined to follow the Rick doctrine. And I think that, maybe what we're looking at is, can that ideology exist in this world? And if Morgan, is willing to give that up and move closer to Rick, can he be like a normalish Rick? Can he be like a normalish pragmatic person in this world? Or are his options to go either like cling to this dying philosophy of people need to be saved and we need to be helpful with people, or go all the way in on this thing that's going to drive him absolutely insane? And I'm really worried about that. What that looks like for not just Morgan, but people who are around him. It could be very bad. So I feel like it is still a little bit of a clash of the ideologies, but it seems like huge points in Team Rick's favor tonight.
Let's start to look ahead before we get into some of the questions that we have. Josh, is it possible that next week's episode does not answer any of the Rick or Glenn or even Morgan issues? And are we getting a Jesse Carl standalone episode?
Oh man. I mean, it's not impossible. Certainly we've seen season 6 so far of Walking Dead has been focusing on a few POVs at a time. We've seen in the preview for next week's episode that it's going to be Jesse heavy. Maggie is going to be involved. So at least the Glenn of it all will be involved through Maggie's story, whether or not we see him or get confirmation of what happened to him. Could we have no Rick next week? It's not impossible. It's not impossible. What's your take? Do you think that we're going Rick Grimes free in episode 5, season 6?
That's going to be really frustrating if we do that.
It'll be tough. It'll be tough. We're already, halfway through this first part of the season, and we've only had 2 Rick Grimes episodes. So, And it wouldn't be the first time. I think it's only 3 episodes with Rick in the second half of season 4, maybe 4 episodes with Rick. So it's happened before.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We'll see you when we're live this Sunday night. Josh, do you have anything else from the episode before we jump into the questions?
Sure. Yeah. How about we talk about the opening credits? Have you seen all the hubbub about this?
What? No Steven Yeun the credits?
Steven Yeun out of the opening credits. He's been cut from the opening credits. That's usually an act that is reserved for somebody who is no longer on the show. What do you think? Bad sign?
Creators be trolling.
Yeah, they're trolling, right?
That's what's just so annoying about this. Like, that they're like trying to mess with you.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I went and I did some digging around on this, looking back at characters who were series regulars who've died on the show before. And usually it takes a little while before their names are scrubbed from the opening credits.
It's like if you're a series regular, it's typically right like that the season that you're on, you're still in the credits the way through, right?
It's versatile from show to show. You know, shows operate on their own standard of opening credits procedure. You know, whatever they want to do, as long as it works out between everybody involved, if everyone's happy, we're good. On Walking Dead, we have very rarely seen it where a main character, a series regular, gets killed, and by the very next episode, their name is erased from the opening credits. Not unheard of, but rare. Dale dies in season 2 with 2 episodes left. He's still in the opening credits. John Bernthal, Shane, he dies in the penultimate of season 2. He's still in the opening credits for the finale. Probably the biggest one is Lori is killed off in episode 4 of season 3. And Sarah Wayne Callies remains part of the opening credits for the rest of the season. So there have been instances like Tyrese gets killed off and Chad Coleman is no longer in the credits for the very next episode. But there's more instances of people sticking around. It's like, you know, take your time. We'll keep your name out there for a little while. Take your time before you get out of my opening credits. To just usher Steven Yeun out of there so fast feels false.
But isn't that annoying that he's not really going to be dead and that they're doing this to mess with people?
Yeah, I do. I do think so. I do think it's a little annoying. Like, you know, I think we'll be able to get over it, but I think the sooner we can get through this, even if he's dead, even if he's just straight up dead and we can just get confirmation on that, the sooner we can be out of the Glenn Woods here would be great, mm-hmm. I think.
I watched The Talking Dead last night, and then The Talking Dead starts off like, so we didn't find out what happened to Glenn. I'm like, well, hold on, what do you mean what happened to Glenn? Like, right. Glenn died on the show. Right. Like, there is no what happened to Glenn. If anything happens, that will be the story. Like, we didn't see Glenn. There should be no what happened. We didn't find out. It wasn't like a cliffhanger with Glenn. Like, they killed Glenn on the show, and anything else is going to be now revisionist history.
Yeah. It's a meta cliffhanger. You know, it's the show outside of the show where the cliffhanger exists. But within the context of the show, they played that as though Glenn was not coming out of that situation alive. Mm-hmm. So, it's the world we're living in, you know, in terms of entertainment right now. There's, you know, there's after shows. There's podcasts about the shows. There's all sorts of commentary about these shows. And these sort of conspiracy theories are going to exist.
Which is why I think that in 2015, something like this does not hold up. Because there are so many people that are, you know, poking holes in what they're trying to do. And I think it comes off as looking like that they're trying to make us look dumb, the viewer. And I don't think that's what they want to do. I think they think that this is like being like they're being so creative with this. But I think it's coming off as insulting.
Right. I think it's a lesson. I think it's a lesson that is being learned publicly right now in terms of what types of stories you can tell with a massive, massive juggernaut like The Walking Dead or a Game of Thrones and still be able to pull the wool over people's eyes. And I hope the right lessons are being learned. It's a challenge to how to tell stories on such a huge scale like this and not just have everybody calling the shots. It's tough. It's a tough thing.
Not to get into the Game of Thrones thing too much, but I'm okay with the Game of Thrones thing because the Game of Thrones is adapted from a book. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Josh. That is the way that the book ends. And the next book has not been written yet. So it would be impossible unless, you know, George R. R. Martin says, let's do it this way. But if you were adapting the book, like that's where the book ends. What are you going to do?
Right. Yep. Fair enough.
Okay. All right. Let's start to take some of these questions. Of course, we're taking your questions on Twitter, hashtag PS Recaps. And then also we have questions coming to us from our comment section on postshowrecaps.com. Why don't we start off with the great Alex Kidwell. He wants to know, is it safe to assume that the Wolves are an organization comprised entirely of Crichton, Dallas, Winston?
Oh, wow.
What do you think?
Well, Crichton, Dallas, Winston, according to Eastman, was pure evil, the most evil person, as Eastman would call him. And Eastman also said he had interviewed upwards of 800 people, and only one of them was pure evil, and that was Crichton. I don't think that the Wolves, you know, those are high odds for all of them to be completely, completely, completely evil. I think more likely they're a bunch of Morgans, and, you know, maybe some of them can be rehabbed, maybe not. I think it would require a lot of work, and we don't exactly have a ton of psychiatrists on the staff here in Alexandria, so I don't know that we can afford to try rehabbing these people, but I don't know that they're all, like, 1,000% pure evil people. There's probably one or two, I would guess.
No, not for anything, Josh. When you name your kid Crichton Dallas Wilton, aren't you sort of like setting them up for a life of being some sort of deranged individual?
Well, you know how I feel about the three names thing.
Yeah.
We've discussed this in the past.
All right. What do you take, a Twitter question or one from the comments?
Here's a question from R. Philly. Does an episode like that guarantee Lenny James an Emmy nomination? Exceptional episode, whether people like the timing or not. What do you think? Was this Emmy-worthy stuff from Lenny James?
Well, I'd have to take a look at the history of this, but from what I know, I don't believe that The Walking Dead typically represents well at the acting categories in the Emmys. Am I wrong about this?
Yeah, no, it doesn't really happen.
Yeah, so I would be surprised if we ended up seeing a Lenny James, Emmy-Lenny nomination.
Emmy James. Yeah, but I would push for it. I would push for Emmy James. I think that would be great.
He is British.
He was terrific tonight. I thought that he was really great. He's been excellent in every single appearance that he's ever had on The Walking Dead. Frankly, he's just great in everything. He's a terrific actor, and this was a great showcase for him. And, you know, he covers a wide range of emotions, from just being, you know, so tweaked out and just roaring with rage with the whole, kill me, kill me. And going from that to being, you know, very Eastman-like, if not full Eastman, I thought that he was good. I thought that he was really good. And if there has been a performance to honor at the Emmys, he's certainly in the conversation as far as people that really ought to get looked at come award season time. I don't think that he will, but it would be nice.
Okay. I think Nicholas also. Dramatic portrayal.
Oh, okay. Man.
All right.
All right. This is a question from Mark. Mark says, did they address how Eastman had running electricity? Wouldn't a generator be a zombie magnet?
Mm.
First off, I don't want to think about zombie magnets. That sounds terrifying. No, I don't think that they ever...
A drum is a zombie magnet.
Yeah, or a fire. Yeah. You know, a big fire or just human flesh would do it. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they ever addressed it on the show. If they do, I don't really remember it. You know, you get the sense that Eastman, he had these plans to take Crichton and abduct him and starve him for a while, and doing so was going to require him being on lockdown for a while. So Eastman probably just doomsday prepped the crap out of that cabin, and it just so happens that doomsday occurred. So it was good. Good timing. It was pretty good.
So you feel like that he knew what he was going to be up to, so he was like, okay, well, let me build a log cabin. And then let me go ahead and get it set up.
It's the same reason why he has like so much food. He tells Morgan, you've got food and power here forever if you want it. And I think that that's because, you know, I stocked up. I was prepped. I was ready to go.
Yeah. He doesn't look like he's starving, Eastman.
No, he doesn't. But man, being like a pure vegetarian in the zombie apocalypse, that's pretty choosy to be in that spot. That's pretty plush.
Yeah.
If you have the option, like... I don't think that I'm gonna. I'll pass on like the chili con queso. You know, I don't need that canned beef. I'm fine. I'm good. I've got my garden here. I've got my stuff. I can make falafel, oatmeal burgers. It's pretty nice to have that option available to you.
Yeah. Did he stock up with so much food just to torture Crichton Dallas Wilton even more? It's like, oh my God, look at all this food right here.
Oh man, that's brilliant. I hope so. Yeah. Now the episode that I want to see is the flashback to Eastman and Crichton in the jail. I feel like that would be a great episode. That'd like a good flashback within the flashback. You asked at the top of this thing, did this episode need to be an hour and a half? Yes, if we had gotten a 30-minute flashback to Eastman and Crichton in the middle.
Okay, so what would that have been? We had now, we had then, and then?
Even further back then. Yeah.
Okay. Nita wants to know, does Morgan not know that people are infected? Is that why he froze up?
I mean, he's pretty calm with Eastman after Eastman gets bit. I mean, let me walk that back. He freaks out. He has a total mental collapse, but I think it's less about Eastman being bit and more about being back in the death circle that he built for himself and, you know, kind of regressing to his old ways. But he didn't seem like, oh, no, Eastman, you got bit. Now you're definitely going to turn. Then again, we have seen Morgan deal with a ton of zombies. He tells Eastman, I've killed a lot of people. He's talking about clearing. You turn, you turn. So I feel like Morgan's got
to
know.
I think he gets it.
I think he's got to know. That would be really bad on Morgan if he hadn't figured that out.
Yeah.
Again, the LA people figured that out so fast. Yeah. This is Coach's Beard. Will we get Glenn answers before the midseason finale?
Yes.
Isn't this great that even in an episode where there's no Glenn whatsoever, in fact, he's removed from the credits, it's still all we can talk about is that guy.
Yes.
That's it.
We'll get an answer then. We'll see. Either it'll be the end of this next week or the week after.
Yeah, I think so. Well, they've said we're answering this in some way, shape, or form before the midseason break. So it's got to happen. Oh, mm-hmm. Man, it's got to happen. If they're lying about that, yo.
No. How long could they go on for?
Yeah. With this question, with the Glenn thing?
Yeah.
Oh, they can't go much further than like two more episodes without really, and even that sounds like a lot. They gotta do this next week. And every other episode this season so far has been like, let's deal with one plot thread and then the other plot thread and then the Rick plot thread again and then the Morgan stuff. So maybe, you know, just if that's a pattern, maybe that looks good for getting some Glenn answers next week. I don't know. They gotta do it soon. It's going to get old real fast if it hasn't gotten
old yet.
Yeah,
it's just like, who's like, oh my God, Walking Dead is killing it with, they give you like a little bit and then they don't tell you anything for like a couple of weeks and then you come back and then you have to watch a story that you don't really care about. Like, I just don't know who is like really enjoying this form of telling a story.
Yeah. I don't know. We got a question on postshowrecaps.com from John Santucci, who said the Eastman character might possibly be the best one episode character in the history of The Walking Dead. Rob, are you ready to make that declaration?
Boy, I'd have to see the list. I don't know. He's certainly in the conversation, but I'd have to really go through and come up with like, who are the potential other people we're talking about?
Yeah, maybe in time for the feedback show, we can troll through the list and see if that's the case. But I would be inclined to say probably.
I mean, not too many other people got their own sort of like one-off like storyline where it's only contained to one episode. Like, I'm trying to think, there's got to be a couple of others, but I don't know. What about like, you know, Tara's dad from with the governor?
Oh, he was, yeah, woo, big thumbs up to Tara's dad. That guy was fantastic. Forgot all about probably, that guy, the king of SpaghettiOs.
Yeah, well, one or two other people like that, but probably nobody else got as much screen time as Eastman.
What about McLovin? Remember McLovin?
No, he's better than McLovin.
Yeah, but McLovin technically had two episodes because he came back as a zombie.
That counts,
I guess. Right? You got to think it sort of counts. It counts ish.
Okay.
I don't know. Where is that? We'll talk about. Let's get that on the feedback show.
What about the scientist from the CDC?
Oh, well, he was in two episodes also, because he's at the end of episode 5, and then he's really in episode 6.
All right, then maybe it's...
I don't think it totally counts. But, like, if we're talking about limited appearance characters, like really short-run characters, then it's a tough call between Jenner and Eastman. Jenner was dope. He was great. All right, this is another question from Coach's Beard. If a wolf tells you he will kill everyone, why do you let him live?
It's a good question.
Let me tell you this, Rob, the art of peace. I have the screen cap of what it says in the art of peace. It says, Aikido means not to kill. Although nearly all creeds have a commandment against taking life, most of them justify killing for one reason or another. In Aikido, however, we try to completely avoid killing even the most evil person. So it's off the table. It's off the menu. Can't kill.
Is it off the table for if like we just have where Morgan says, okay, I'm going to turn this over to my partner, Rick Grimes. Like, you've been reassigned to his. And like, could he just like walk out of the case?
That seems like very flexible Aikido. Like, that seems like you're really taking, you know, really getting some wiggle room in there with that Aikido, which obviously I'm a fan of.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad to have some wiggle room. Yeah. I mean, at some point, what do you do? I mean, it's like, okay, well, I'm not going to kill you, but I'm just going to, you know, keep you in a cage and feed you forever.
Right.
So,
yeah, maybe.
Know.
That could be the plan. That could be the plan. All right, here's a question from Fat Tyson Apostle. There was a shot of solar panels on the roof of the cabin. Well, there you go. That's the power. Solar powered in the doomsday apocalypse situation.
Boy, Eastman really was getting set for this revenge tour when he starts putting in solar panels.
I told you, he's pretty good belt. Pretty good. Not bad. Alex Kidwell says, which character introduced to us last night was ripped from our hearts too soon? Eastman or Tabitha? Ah, oh, hashtag goat. Greatest goat of all time.
Greatest goat of all time.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about Tabitha, really. We talked a little bit about the cheese. What did you think of Tabitha? Good character, right?
I thought it was a real downer that Tabitha got bit by the walker by the end of the episode. Like, felt like, you know, really, I mean, like for Eastman, like, what a crappy day.
Horrible day. And also, like, to the point that the day was so exasperatingly bad for Eastman that when Morgan shows up with Tabitha in the wheelbarrow, Eastman's not even like, no, Tabitha, no, why, please? He's just like, oh, she got out. Yeah, that happened. You know, he's just kind of like, ah, this day sucks.
Yeah.
The worst day ever.
And he never even got to finish making the cheese.
No, he never got to finish making the cheese. He never got a good batch of cheese. That's why we said, I don't think that you call him the cheesemaker. I don't think that that's the right way to describe it.
Attempted cheesemaker.
Cheesemaker in the making, perhaps, but not even a pretty good belt at cheesemaking. It's a pretty bad belt, I would say.
Okay. What do we have? More questions from Twitter?
Yeah, let's get one more from Alex Kidwell, who says, do you think Morgan was disappointed seeing how Rick has changed? Who will fix who? Will we ever see Rick going through forms? Yeah, is Rick going to pick up Aikido?
No.
Yeah, Rick Keto seems to be what he is following these days.
I don't know. To have Rick go back to, you know, it was almost like, I think you've said this before, where it was like Rick sort of went through his pacifist stage and then he's come out as this Rick. I mean, to have then have like a fourth version of Rick now, I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like it would be a lot. But I mean, I think that, as I've said, right now I'm really feeling more inclined to say that Rick could pull Morgan back toward his worldview. I didn't understand just how fragile Morgan really was. I mean, the day that the cheesemaker finally dies, the day that we lose Eastman, is the same day that Morgan completely regresses to his old style. You know, he's in the death circle. He's talking about clearing again, and you know. And he goes and he tracks down the walker in the forest, and he has an opportunity to kill these two humans, and he doesn't do it, but just barely. He's that close. So this dude really has been dancing on the edge in a way that I don't think that we had appreciated up until now. And it does say to me that Morgan is not going to be hard to push over the line, and I feel like that's probably where his story is going. That's very sad. It's very depressing. What do you think? What's your take? If you had to gun to your head, no thank you, Rob, right now, would you say that Morgan is going to go back to his old ways, or will he push forward? Will he stay committed to his current beliefs? How do you think we're going to go with Morgan moving forward?
I don't think he goes back to being as, you know, cuckoo bananas as we saw him in the past, but I do think that he could waver on this worldview.
Yeah, it's possible. We've got a question on PosterRecaps.com from Dave Backer. Any thoughts on the Into the Badlands trailer? Rob, did you watch the Into the Badlands trailer?
No, I was fast-forwarding through the commercials, but I know that you are a big fan.
Yeah, it seems like it'll be good most shows recapped material one of these days. I think that Into the Badlands looks silly enough to make it onto that show.
Okay. Well,
and you didn't see the Preacher trailer either.
No. Yeah, I was fast-forwarding these commercials.
That's all right. That's okay.
That's one of the joys of watching this show on DVR.
Yeah, it was just fine. It was just okay.
Okay. All right. Well, Josh, we're going to be back later on this week.
Yes.
To talk about the feedback and voicemail questions from The Walking Dead Season 6, Episode 4.
Correct.
Plenty of stuff about Morgan, Eastman, Glenn, you name it. Go to postshowrecaps.com/voicemail, or you could also leave us some more comments on this page here on Postshow Recaps.
That sounds like a plan. Lots to talk about. It's probably going to be all about Glenn again, don't you think?
I think so.
We'll try and spice it up. I think that we got a lot of our Glenn problems out of our system last week. I'm sure we'll talk about it more this week on the feedback show. But I'd love to keep diving into the Morgan psychology of it all and what's up with Eastman and where we think this situation with Morgan and the wolves is taking us. I think it's an interesting development. I like that he didn't kill the guy. I'm not convinced that he won't do it eventually. So We'll have a lot more to talk through on the feedback show.
Yeah. All right. Well, good stuff. What about the hashtag? You like goat goat?
Oh, goat goat is good. We had hashtag wolf douche if we want to go with our classic douche hashtags. Hashtag pretty good belt. Hashtag Emmy James. We had some good ones this week. Take your pick.
Okay. Let's go. I like the shorter ones. So goat goat, Emmy James, and then we could just refer to Wolf Douche as Wolf Fair Douche enough. Going forward.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. We will be back to talk about all your feedback questions later on in the week. You can subscribe to our Walking Dead podcast feed at postshowrecaps.com/TWD iTunes. Josh, I know you are covering a bunch of stuff right now. What's on the schedule for this week?
Well, what's on the schedule for this week is I got to watch The Leftovers, last night's episode of The Leftovers, and talk about that with Antonio Mazzaro later today. I hear it was a doozy. This season has been freaking awesome. I'm getting close to saying that The Leftovers is the best show on TV right
now.
Wow. It's really, really good stuff. So we'll talk about that later today. Fargo, we will have a Fargo podcast for you guys either tomorrow night or Wednesday morning. We've got American Horror Story with me and Stephen Fishback that we've been doing, which has been really fun. That episode posted on Sunday of this past week, and we'll have another one coming to you over the weekend, and then we'll do some more Mo Shows recap. We've got Ash versus the Evil Dead.
More zombies
this week. More Deadite action. It's a much funnier zombie show than The Walking Dead. I thought it was amazing. I loved that first episode. So really pumped to talk to you guys about that. I know that you have your own thoughts on the Evil Dead, Rob. I'm very excited to hear about
that. Okay, we'll talk about it on most shows recapped every Friday on Post Show Recaps. Plus, also heading into this weekend, big SNL, Donald Trump hosting SNL will have coverage on Sunday, assuming that my wife does not have a baby between now and then. All right. So looking forward to getting back into it with everybody going forward, and I will talk to you soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.